lesson today is taken from Galatians 6:9. Recently, had a talk with a brother on the phone, and this sermon is kind of taken out of that, about sometimes we get discouraged. And I don't know if there's ever a Christian that hasn't been at one time or another. Paul was writing to the Christians in Galatia, and he said in Galatians 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We talked a lot about this in our Sunday morning Bible class today. I enjoyed the class. I don't know if the people that were here enjoyed it, but I got a lot out of it. It starts out with, let us not grow weary while doing good. And Paul knows the nature of people. Sometimes when you're doing good, and for various reasons, you can kind of grow weary. Maybe you're trying to do too much. Maybe there's just so many things going on in life, blasting us daily. And it's easy sometimes to grow weary in doing good. He goes on to say, "For in due season we will reap." We don't always get that immediate, long-lasting reward. Our first thought with reaping is judgment day, that we will receive salvation. And that's a good motivation for living that Christian life. The good works that we are required to do. And on that day of judgment, we will reap that reward, that great reward. But in class, we were talking about, we get a lot of rewards right now, here and now, for doing good. The joy that it brings us when we do good things for other people, and to see the results of our efforts. That warms our hearts, that inspires us. Or when we see others do it, we can be inspired. And the last part that I'd like to focus on today is if we do not lose heart. And that is sometimes easy to do. Those of us that have been in the church for any length of time at all, whether it's happened to us, we can at least identify people that we've seen have literal roller coaster rides of spirituality. Going along, everything's fine, and then get slapped in the face with something. Maybe problems in our own lives. Maybe family problems. Those of us that are parents, I guess the best kids in the world at times give you trials. If anything, worry. Worry about your kids. They can be great kids, but you still worry about them. There's not one of us that goes through life flawless without problems, trials, tribulations. And I think a term we used this morning in class is just sometimes a kick in the gut. It can come from health issues, seeing others facing a health struggle, ourselves. I think of Charlotte right now, who's in the hospital. I don't know if you were aware, she broke her leg yesterday. That woman has had more than her share of health issues. And the hardest thing for Charlotte is when she's laid up like that is the fact that she's not able to go 90 miles an hour in 13 different directions and doing things for other people and serving God and being here and so forth. She's an inspiration to me. You know, I started to say, you know, I wish I had her energy of serving God when I get to be her age. I'd love to have her energy now. I wish I could have had it 20 years ago. But health issues, that sometimes that can help be a factor of why we lose heart. Financial issues. You know, I've said before, I've never had financial problems. I've had calendar problems. More calendar days before the next, you know, until the next payday that I've run out of money. You know, the money's fine. It's just that there's too many days until the next payday. But when you're dealing with a financial issue, when you're wondering where next month's mortgage payment or the rent, or when you've been laid off at a job, and you just wonder, and sometimes they come boom, boom, boom. Sometimes it's easy as a Christian to lose heart. Losing loved ones, a family member, a dear friend, co-workers, whatever. That is tough. But Paul is telling the Christians in Galatia, and I'll tell you, even though he was writing to the Christians in Galatia, it applies to us today, that we will, in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. In Revelation, we just recently, last week, finished up a 7-week study on the letters to the seven churches in Asia, and we looked at the different letters that to each congregation. And in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Sometimes we can lose heart when we have left our first love, when we take our focus off of what's really important. Every one of us, and I think I mentioned in class this morning that I don't care who you are, whether you're a Christian or an unbeliever, you're going to face things in life. You're going to face all those things, financial, health, you know, loss of loved ones. You're going to face those things in life. But I tell you, as a Christian, at least we have people to face it with. And there's so many people out there in the world that they face those same things, and you wonder why there is so much suicide, why there is so much drug abuse, why there is so much sadness and anger and frustration in the world. We as Christians understand it, but you know what? At least we have God to go through it with. We have our brothers and sisters to go through those things with. And if we've left our first love, the first thing that is the most important to God, a lot of times we can lose heart because we remove ourselves. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, be diligent. I get a lot of inspiration from Paul. I really do. I look at the things that he endured as a Christian and the life that he faced and the trials that he faced, and not only that, how he faced them. Everybody faces things, some more than others, but Paul faced it and left us an example of which we can follow. Here he is. This is the last recorded message that we have from Paul. He wrote it to his beloved Timothy. He's sitting in jail and awaiting execution. And he says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas, he lost heart. He left his first love, and as a result, he's left Paul. Goes on to say, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. I love the story. Maybe we can have a separate lesson on this. I love the fact the redemption, that the reconciliation that Mark and Paul had. If you remember back in years earlier, during one of Paul's missionary journeys, Mark accompanied Paul and they had a division. In fact, Paul and Barnabas had a division over whether Mark should continue. We don't know the exact details. We can only guess. But for whatever reason, Mark left the missionary journey and Paul continued on. And as it said, it was no small dispute among Paul and Barnabas over this issue. Years later, they've reconciled their differences, and he's telling Timothy, his number one right-hand person that he loves as a son, he goes, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And here's Paul sitting in a prison, and he's still pressing forward. He's still working in the ministry. He's not just sitting there moaning his fate, oh, woe is me, I'm in jail. He's working. He hasn't lost heart. And that greatly inspires me. A few verses later, he says in verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Do you ever feel like that as a Christian? That you're facing it alone? That sometimes we might be in an auditorium full of other Christians, but nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows the trial and the weight on my shoulders that I'm facing right now. Nobody knows. We need to share it with each other. We need to carry each other's load. He says, all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Paul understood. They might have not stood with me. They may have their own dragons they're fighting. They may have their own giants in their lives. He's not casting blame. He's saying, may it not be charged against them. The Lord is faithful. And he goes on to say, but the Lord stood with me. If we are abandoned by everybody in our lives, the one consolation we know, the Lord stands with us. The Lord is always there. And strengthen me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. When you're ever in a corner feeling all alone, know that even if your brothers and sisters are not with you, the Lord is. I always think of Peter. He had promised just hours before at their meal, what we think of as the Last Supper, Jesus was saying, somebody's going to betray me. And Peter spoke, oh, no, not me. I'll never betray you. I will die with you, Jesus. And Peter looked at him and he told him, you know, before the cock crows, before the morning, you'll deny me three times. Not me, never. I'll die with Jesus. Jesus was arrested in the garden, taken away, and it says Peter followed at a distance. And while Jesus was facing his accusers, Peter was there watching at a distance, and people started, hey, you're one of the followers of Jesus. Nope, not me. Don't know the guy. And he did it three times. And on the third time, in Luke 22, starting in verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Don't you know Peter had lost heart at that time? He was weeping bitter, a full-grown man, weeping. And don't you know the look when Jesus turned and looked? It probably felt like it burned a hole in his heart. This is the same guy. I'll die with you, Jesus. Not me. I won't forsake you. And when Jesus just kind of looked, kind of like, told you so. It stayed with him. And you look, you read in Acts, you read in 1st and 2nd Peter, the man that he became. There's not a doubt that he remembered this daily and lived to atone for it, lived to make up for that. Just like Paul with used to persecute the church. Used to be the one that would cause others to lose heart. And then Paul would be able to write later, you'll get your reward if you don't lose heart. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we see the importance of each other. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes people remove themselves. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's kind of fun to have a pity party. Put the sad music on, just sit there and moan and mope and go through all your woes. And sometimes you got to do that, but if you stay at that party too long, that's the problem. But we're told to consider each other. And it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When we come together right now, the purpose is to worship God. Never get that confused. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to listen to a band. We're not here because they pass out punch and cookies. No, we're here as a body to worship the Lord God because He has given us that command. We see the Christians in the first century, they came together on the first day of the week to do this. One of the benefits for us, people always say, well, I don't get anything out of the worship. I didn't get anything out of church. Well, one, we're not coming to get, we're coming to give. But one of the benefits of us being here together is the fellowship that we can have as brothers and sisters. And it says, consider one another to stir up love and good works with each other, where we're not going that road alone. You miss, and then you miss again, and then you miss again. Then you come, and you miss, and miss, and miss, and pretty soon, you're so far down the road, you think, how did I get so far away? How did I get so far away from God? How did I get so far away from the life I used to live? How did I get so far away from my brothers and sisters? That's one of the benefits of coming together. We come together to worship God. But one of the benefits for us, and God knows, that's why He created the church. That's why He created His kingdom. Because out there is tough. And we can come together and strengthen each other, not only at worship service, but in Bible class. When we have a potluck, we can even get together with individuals during the week. Go out to supper. Watch a movie together and strengthen each other in order to not lose heart. Proverbs 27:17, I love this verse. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Like that picture. An old craftsman sharpening his trusty old axe. It's probably given him many years of service and will continue. That's what we do for each other. We sharpen each other. We make each other better. An axe needs sharpened once in a while. A good, useful tool. As much as Hugh does around here, he needs to be sharpened once in a while. A pat on the back. And he gets it from each other, from us. The things that the people do, we sharpen each other. Could you imagine going through this thing called life without our brothers and sisters? Galatians 6, same chapter we started, but earlier in the chapter, says, Paul says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hopefully, when we get to heaven, we're going with a group. Hopefully, we've been able to bring a few people with us. Hopefully, other people will be able to have brought us with them. People have shared the gospel with us to make it to where we're here today. We can do the same. When we get to heaven, make sure it's not by ourselves. Let's bring as many people with us as we can. I got a feeling it's not going to be overcrowded. I think as many people that will be able to be there will fit. It starts off, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. It's always easy to point out people's flaws. Can we restore in a attitude of gentleness and love? Nurturing them along. I don't remember when my son was learning to ride a bike and he'd fall off. I told you how to do it. Why didn't you get up and do it again? I told you how to do it. Why are you keep falling? We showed you how to feed yourself. Why can't you do it? Come on. You're already 13 months old. Come on, get with the program. You know? Restore them with a sense of gentleness. Gentleness. We can beat people over the head all we want with the Bible. We can quote book, chapter, and verse all we want to somebody. Restore. You who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens, and when we do, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Not man's laws, not even the law of Moses, fulfilling the law of Christ. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's a tall order. It's hard to get along with some people. How much of it is us, though? I just can't get along with Barbara. I love Barbara. I'll pick on Barbara because she knows I love her. Just can't get along with Barbara. How much of it is me? If it is possible, and some people it may not be. Have you known some porcupines in your life that no matter how you approach them, they poke you? They don't necessarily mean to. It's their nature. It's just them. They're having just another regular fun Tuesday, but they poke you. As much as depends on you, make sure you're not the porcupine. There's going to be some porcupines in life. There's going to be some porcupines at work. No matter, good morning, what's good about it? Try to have a good day. In our neighborhood. Ah, the garbage people left the can out in the street again. You know what? But they took my trash away. Instead of just leaving it piled up. As much as depends on us. Live peaceably with all men. Hebrews 12:1. Sorry, though. We're still working on the projector and so forth. Wish some of these pictures were a little sharper. Can't quite see these. These are some of my kiddos I coach, the starting line of track. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Anybody that's running a race, you know, they don't have their sweats still on. They don't got their sports bag. They've gotten rid of that. We're running a spiritual race. Are we carrying the baggage with us of guilt, of worry, of anger, of fret? Are we interrupting our worship to God thinking about what somebody else in the room's done to us? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. It's not a 100-meter dash, guys. Some of you have been Christians for decades. Decades. And you know, it's not just go hard for a little bit and it's over. It's for the rest of our lives. We're going to have obstacles. We're going to face things in life that we've got to overcome, twists and turns in life, things that are set before us that we've got to get over. Some hills that look like mountains to us, that we've got to gruel, grunt, snort, and get up that hill. Get up the hill, because there's going to be another one down the road. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You're immovable and steadfast, and you're doing work for the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The look on that face right there, am I ever going to get up this hill? Yep. And our reward is there. If we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:9. If we do not lose heart. We've got brothers and sisters here that have probably been through any struggle you're facing right now. If you need prayers of the congregation, let us pray for you. Let us help you. Let us take off that sin. Let us take off any of those burdens that are weighing us down. Apathy, laziness, anger, guilt, worry that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. Not coming from me, coming from the Bible. Jesus tells us that we have to believe that he is the Christ. He also says we have to repent of our sins. We have to confess that belief to men. We see time and time again people confessing that belief verbally. We have to repent of our sins. We have to be baptized. When we're baptized, that's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ, who washes our sins. It's not the water. It's not the water. That's just regular old tap water. Nothing special about the water. It's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from our sins. And then once we've become a Christian, that's when we start that race. And it's for life. Be faithful until death, and you'll receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Whatever your need, if you need prayers, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sins, whatever your need, please come forward as Steve leads us in the invitation song.